Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In my last sermon, I talked about tawakkul, or trust in God, reliance on God. Tawakkul, or trust in God, reliance on God, is a crucial attribute of faith, a crucial attribute of iman. At its core, faith or iman is a personal relationship with God. Trust is super important in any relationship, in marital relationship, business relationship. In fact, you cannot build a meaningful relationship without trust. And that includes our relationship with God. So in a sense, faith is a trusting relationship with God. As I mentioned last time, tawakkul is not easy to define. It's not easy to grasp. Because tawakkul is not a particular activity. It's not a concrete activity that you can point to and say, that's tawakkul. It's not like jogging, swimming, playing soccer, or daily ritual prayer. You see, those are concrete activities. They are names for concrete activities. But tawakkul is not the name for any specific activity, and that is a very, very important point to keep in mind. Instead, tawakkul is a mindset. Tawakkul is a state of mind and heart. Trusting God, reliance on God, is an attitude, something that lives in the heart of a true believer. And when tawakkul sits into the heart, soul and mind of a true believer, then it will provide a lens through which the believer forms his outlook and behavior. Last time I went into some detail to talk about a confusion and misunderstanding about tawakkul. There is a lot of confusion and misunderstanding about tawakkul. A lot of religious people confuse tawakkul with inaction, sitting around doing nothing and hoping that God would somehow magically solve all their problems. This misunderstanding, this confusion about trusting God is at play today in the midst of the COVID pandemic. Some religious folks, mostly Christians, do not get the COVID vaccine. They don't wear masks. They don't practice social distancing. Instead, they say, we put our trust in God to protect us from the COVID. Now, the Quran completely rejects this notion of trusting God. I think Rumi has beautifully captured the essence of the Quranic teaching of tawakkul. Rumi says, گر توکل می کنی در کار کن، کشت کن، پس تکیه بر جبار کن. If you are putting your trust in God, do it in work. If you are putting your trust in God, do it in work. Sow the seed, then rely on the Almighty. So tawakkul is not a substitute for rational decision making. It's not a replacement for rational planning and hard work. Tawakkul is really meant to complement hard work. Let me repeat one more time. Tawakkul is meant to complement hard work, not replace it. Last time, I closed my sermon with an important question. If I should do all the legwork, do all the hard work, what is the use of trusting God? If I'm supposed to be doing all the hard work, what good does trusting God do for me? That's the question I left you with last time, and today I would like to actually deal with that question. What are the fruits of tawakkul for a person of faith? So, what are the practical and real-world benefits of tawakkul for a believer, for a person of faith? Inshallah, I will go over 5 tangible fruits of tawakkul. Now, these fruits and benefits of tawakkul are mostly psychological. Another important key point. All the fruits of tawakkul that I will share with you today are mostly psychological. In other words, as a religious belief, tawakkul, trusting God, reliance on God, works on your psyche. It impacts your mindset and outlook. It transforms how you see and experience the world. Now, the 5 fruits of trusting God that I will discuss today are actually intertwined. They are interrelated. There is quite a bit of overlap between them. However, I will intentionally split them, separate them, so they stand out. This way, hopefully, you will have a better appreciation for how tawakkul can impact your life. Let's begin with the first fruit of tawakkul, or reliance on God. Having a strong sense of trust in God frees us from negativity and doubt. Trusting God is a source of optimism in life. If you recall from my last sermon, verse 159 in chapter 3 clearly instructs the Prophet Muhammad to discuss social and political matters with his followers. The verse advises the Prophet Muhammad to choose a rational course of action. And then the verse says, فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. When you have decided on a course of action, put your trust in God. After you have decided on a course of action, then put your trust in God. The critical word here is azamta. In other words, when you embark on your course of action, do not let doubt creep into your mind and shake your resolve. Do not second guess your plan. You see, doubt and second guessing will weaken our resolve. Then we are not going to give it 100% of our energy and attention. In other words, by letting doubt and second guessing creep into our mind, essentially we are setting ourselves up for failure. As long as your project does not violate what God teaches, what pleases God, you can count on God's help. He will walk right beside you. He will help you in ways you least expect. This is a wisdom that the Holy Quran teaches us. Chapter 65, verse 3. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مَنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And God will provide from sources you could never imagine. And whosoever puts his trust in God, God will suffice him. This is quite heartwarming. It is very reassuring. This is the perception of a true believer, the mindset of a true believer. Tawakkul shuts the door on doubt. It liberates us from negativity and doubt. It makes a true believer optimistic about the future. Remember, pessimism is contradictory to trusting God. The second fruit of tawakkul, or trusting God. Tawakkul helps us separate effort from outcome. Let me repeat one more time. Tawakkul, as a mindset, as an outlook, as an attitude of heart, helps us separate effort from outcome. In other words, it allows us to detach ourselves from the outcome of our works and efforts. Let me explain. Effort is an activity, right? Like getting married, raising kids, a business venture, getting a job. These are all efforts we engage in. When I engage in an activity, when I put my effort into a project, obviously I want to achieve a goal. I desire a good outcome. That's why I engage in that effort and activity. But in most cases, the outcome is unpredictable. I do not have much control over the outcome. There are many, many forces and factors that may impact the outcome, and they are beyond my control. But since I have tawakkul, since I have put my trust in God, I do whatever I can and leave the rest to God. In other words, I leave the outcome of my effort to God. At best, I may have control over the effort. That's the best I can hope for, to have control over my work, over my effort. But the outcome of the effort is not always under my control. Ask a farmer, ask an entrepreneur, ask a ghafarid. In fact, that's what risk is all about, right? Those of you who have studied economics or finance 101, what is the definition of risk? Risk is the chance that an outcome or actual gain will differ from an expected outcome, from a desired return. That's what risk means. If I were to say it in a modern language, tawakkul is a way of coming to terms with living in a risky world. It's a way of coming to terms with living in a world where we are not in control of all the forces and events. When you detach yourself from the outcome of your efforts, it really helps you not lose your mind when things do not go your way, when the outcome is way off the mark. Which brings us to the third fruit of tawakkul. And here is the third fruit of tawakkul. Trusting God frees us from fear, stress, and anxiety. Tawakkul is great for mental health. That's what we go and see psychologists for, right? We want to overcome our fears, anxiety, stress. We want to attain mental health. There you have it. Tawakkul, the way I explained it to you, frees you from peer stress and anxiety. Let me explain how. Life is full of unknowns. Life is full of uncertainties. We make decisions for our health, our job, our investments, our relationships in a sea of unknowns, in a sea of uncertainties. That's how we make our decisions every day. As a believer, when you surrender to God, you choose to rely on God as your source of strength and support. Surrender, taslim wa raza. Surrender effectively frees you from the anxiety and stress that naturally comes from the unknown. Anxiety and stress that naturally comes from the uncertain future. Tawakkul means that you lean on God. God, the all-powerful, the compassionate, the caring, the loving, and more importantly, the trustworthy. The trustworthy. God is your refuge in an uncertain world. Very critical. I mean, this is not just brainwashing. This is the mindset of a true believer in God. God is our refuge in an uncertain world. In the Holy Quran, God has assured us that He will never abandon those who put their trust in Him. Chapter 3, verse 159. Inna Allaha yuhibbul mutawakkilin. Surely God loves those who put their trust in Him. So you see, tawakkul is also a path to God's love. If you want to benefit from God's love, tawakkul is a sure path, a sure bet. It is precisely God's love that takes anxiety away from a true believer. The fourth fruit of tawakkul, the fourth fruit of trusting God, inner peace. When you leave the outcome of your work, the outcome of your effort to God, you will be content with whatever the outcome is. And that sense of contentment will create inner peace. Even though we don't have much control over the outcome, we have total control over how we respond to the outcome. Let me repeat one more time. Yes, it is true that we don't have much control over the outcome of our actions and activities, but we have total control over how we respond to the outcome. What are the typical responses of an average person to unpleasant outcome? Sorrow, grief, anger. These are common feelings when we face a loss. What happens when the outcome of a project is not exactly what we hoped for? We typically kick ourselves. We are at war with ourselves. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. I should have known better. What the heck was I thinking? That's what happens typically when the outcome is not in line with our expectations. Now, what's worse? We may even look at ourselves as a loser, as a failure, when the outcome is not what we hoped for. But when you detach yourself from the outcome and leave it to God, why should you see yourself as a loser? It doesn't make sense, because you left the outcome to God. The outcome is not in your hands. a believer would say, I gave it my best effort. I did not fail in that. So from a spiritual point of view, any project in which you give it your best effort is a success. End of the story. Regardless of the outcome, you have succeeded because you gave it your 100%. The effort itself is your accomplishment. Did you hear what I just said? The effort and the work itself is your accomplishment. Do not look beyond the effort in search of the accomplishment. The accomplishment is the effort, not the outcome. That's not how we typically look at things. Obviously, adopting this viewpoint requires a major shift in consciousness. You must see the world through the lens of tawakkul, through the lens of trust in God. Now let's go over the last fruit of tawakkul, the fifth fruit of tawakkul. A strong sense of trust in God gives us hope in the face of adversities. A strong belief, a strong reliance on God gives us hope in the face of adversities. And brothers and sisters, hope is the greatest asset we can have, especially when we face trials and challenges in life that seem unsurmountable. That's our greatest asset, barring none, hope. Brothers and sisters, I invite you to see God not as an abstract idea, but as hope. God is hope. When your heart fills up with hope, it means God has visited your heart. God's messengers faced insurmountable challenges. They all faced forces far more powerful than themselves. Read the stories of Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad. What you will find is the following. No matter how big the challenge was, how insurmountable the barrier looked to them, they never gave into fear and despair. They never lost their hope, even in their darkest hours. Despair means loss of hope. Messengers of God had ample trust in God to help them. Do you know what the motto of the messengers of God was? Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. God is enough for us, and He is an excellent guardian and the best protector. For our Sufis, Abraham is the perfect example of tawakkul. Abraham is the best example of trusting God. Why? Idol worshippers threw Abraham into fire. Angels of God went to Abraham and asked him, "Do you have any questions? Do you need help? Do you have any request?" Abraham responded, "Not from you, not from you. I rely on God directly." When the agents of the Pharaoh were going door to door to kill the male infants in the Jewish community, what did the mother of Moses do? According to the Holy Quran, she was inspired by God to place her infant in a river to save him, to save his life. Can you picture that? Putting your kid, your infant, in a river to save his life? But that's precisely what she did. But she put her trust in God, and God kept Moses safe. Moses was actually raised, of all places, in the palace of the Pharaoh. What is the life lesson of these stories that I just shared with you? What can we learn from these stories? These stories provide consolation and hope to us. When you find yourself in the midst of a storm, whether that storm is a calamity, an injustice, loss of life, loss of fortunes, do not let that storm frighten you. Because God is far more powerful than any storm. Do not lose hope. That's the moral of these stories in the Holy Quran. This segment of verse 53 in chapter 39 is one of my favorite in all of the Holy Quran. لا تغنتوا من رحمة الله. Do not despair of God's mercy. Do you know what the greatest sin is according to Sufis? What is the greatest sin according to Rumi, Bayazid, Junaid, and their lights? What is the greatest sin in their eyes? Despair, loss of hope, hopelessness. That is the greatest sin. Guess what? Sufis don't make it up. Listen to what the Quran says. Chapter 12, verse 87. وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Do not despair of God's mercy. Only disbelievers despair of God's mercy. So, in the depth of your loneliness, when you face a seemingly unsurmountable barrier, whatever that may be, loss of a loved one, loss of your fortunes, a catastrophe in your relationship with your spouse, with your kids, do not give up on God, because God never gives up on you. Do not give up on God. Listen to how Rumi puts it. هل نومید نباشی که تو را یار براند. گرت امروز براند نه که فردات بخواند. در اگر بر تو ببندد مرو و صبر کن آنجا. ز پس صبر تو را او به سر صدر نشاند. و اگر بر تو ببندد همه رها و گذرها ره پنهان بنماید که کسان راه نداند. He may drive you away today, but won't he call you back tomorrow? If he shuts the door on your face, do not leave. Stay there and wait. For after patience, he will seat you on the seat of honor. If he closes off all of your ways and passages, do not lose hope. He will show you a secret way which no one else knows. That is the message of Rumi for us. That is the fifth fruit of tawakkul. Hope. Hopefulness. So, tawakkul inspires hope. It makes us strong and energetic. It lifts our spirit. It increases our determination. in adversities, it makes us truly resilient and persevering. It makes us truly perseverant and resilient even in the face of lasting adversities. I hope that my talk today on tawakkul in some way clarified what this amazing virtue in Islam has in store for us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.